My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the National Finance Committee. This is a meeting of the National Finance Committee for September 12th, 2017. And the first order of business is roll call. R. Paul Martin is the secretary. R. Paul, could you please call the roll?
Okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Sam Agarwal.
Present.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Chris Corey. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Nick Economides.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. Nancy Sorden. Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Okay, that's eight. That's a quorum.
Okay. I forgot something on the draft agenda. And that's the item to approve the agenda. So would somebody like to make a motion to add an item to approve the agenda to the draft agenda I sent out?
I make that motion to add that to the agenda.
Wait a minute. Can I suggest we just say somebody moved to approve the agenda and we'll take it as it is?
Somebody moved to approve the agenda. Yeah, you're right. It's getting a little ridiculous. Okay.
I move to approve the agenda.
Who was that?
Okay.
That was Nick Arena moving to approve the agenda.
Okay. Do we have any objections or amendments to the draft agenda?
R. Paul? Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe the item report from the CFO for 30 minutes, maybe that should go before the PRA budget so that we get some idea of how things are generally, and then we go into doing a budget. I don't know.
Well, I was asked to put the PRA budget first because the people from PRA will only be available in the earlier part of our meeting.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
That's why it's like that.
Now, can I just, is Mark or Mariano on?
Yes, we're both here.
Okay.
Hello?
So Mark and Mariano are both here. Okay, very good.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I take it, R. Paul, that you're okay with the agenda as it stands, then?
Yeah, okay.
Anybody else? Any other possible amendments to the draft agenda? Okay. Then I think we have consensus. The agenda is approved. And the first item on the agenda is approval of minutes. That's a 5-minute item. R. Paul, do you wish to make a motion on that?
I move to approve the minutes of the August 8th, 2017 NFC meeting.
Okay. Any discussion, questions? Okay. Hearing none, the minutes for, what was it, August 28th, NFC meeting, or approved?
August 8th.
August 8th, okay. Are there any other minutes? Did we not have any further NFC meetings since August 8th?
Nope.
We haven't. Okay. All right. Okay, then that takes care of that item. The next item is the PRA budget. And I don't know who wants to speak first. Would the CFO like to introduce the subject, or would the Mark Torres like to speak? Whoever wants to take a stab at it, go ahead.
I would let Mark and Mariana speak for the budget. We have a few problems, actually, that we can address later.
Okay.
This is Mark Torres, the interim director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. Welcome, everybody. Hello to everybody. And
hello, Mark.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark.
I would just like to say that I've been here as the interim director since July of 2016, and it's been an interesting process to be here as the director of this unit after being the senior producer and operations director since 1990. So I know a lot about how the archives operate, and this was my first year at the helm to help guide the archives through some difficult financial times. When I started, we were struggling to make payroll. We were struggling to make health benefits, and that all turned around in a few months. And today, the archives is as robust as they've ever been since I started in 1990, and I think our budget reflects the fact that that we're currently operating within our budget. And not only doing that, but we're fulfilling all of our obligations to both service our stations, our listeners, and help and preserve the Pacifica Radio Archives. So I guess we can start with line number 8. We just want to go down the lines in the budget. Last year, we budgeted... for this year, we are budgeting $85,000 in listener support, and also, in addition to that, a few lines down on website income, $8,000, a total of $93,000 of fundraising. Our actual amount of money that we raised up to this point was $169,000. We had a very good fund drive in November. Just for anybody who may not have been here for a few years, the Pacifica Radio Archives had previously done two-day fundraisers in November, and then a second fund drive somewhere around May, and then a fourth fund drive or a third fund drive somewhere around August. And the Pacifica Radio Archives, we reduced the two-day fund drive into one day, and we haven't had to do any additional fundraising. So we plan on maintaining that type of fundraising pattern on air, although, you know, hopefully we will get some large donors off air. But at this point, for this year, we did a one-day fundraiser. We raised a little over $169,000, but we're budgeting $85,000 because I feel, as a director, that we need to project something that's reasonable, something that we've done in the past, something that we know that we can attain, rather than, you know, reach forward and think a banner year might happen every year. So I wanted to be conservative on this number, and I think those numbers will be reflected throughout this budget, that regardless of the amount of revenue that we are bringing in on this particular year, I think we need to proceed conservatively in the next year until we see a pattern of increased revenue as a norm. But for now, we're having a total of $93,000 of income that you'll see on lines 8 and 10. And then major donor income, We're thinking that we're going to bring in about $5,000. That's what we're budgeting. I think if I'm going to give everybody a synopsis of where we're going to go, this budget as it stands will, at the end of the day, will be $40,000 in the plus. So our numbers are trying to reflect, you know, a little leeway here and there, not only just being conservative, but even as it stands, being conservative, we should have a surplus of $40,000 in our budget for 2018. Okay, so moving along, major donor income, we're going to have, we're budgeting for $10,000 total in major donor income and donations over $1,000. That's reflected in lines 12 and 13. Car donations, we're budgeting $2,000. We've actually gotten about $2,700 so far. That program seems to be doing pretty good for us, and there's a possibility of us actually doing a little better there if we push it a little further on social media. Let's see. And then community and special events, we have a budget of $1,000. Let me just add that I applied for a grant of $9,000 from the Eastside Community Arts Foundation. It had a deadline a few Mondays ago, and I really found out about it on the Friday before. And Sam got me over all the documents I needed, and just yesterday I found out that we were awarded this $9,000 community grant. So we'll have $9,000 for fiscal year 2018. That's not actually listed here, but they won't award it until December. So we're not putting that in just yet. Let's see, PRA premium sales to the stations. Okay, we have budgeted $45,000. That's about average of what we've done to the stations, you know, over the past several years. But, you know, this year the PRA came up with a thank you gift premium that has just been lights out. Now, we've been fundraising off this premium for an entire year, so we wanted to be conservative on this number and stay at $45,000, because you never know when something will dry up. You never know, and we want to proceed conservatively and not overreach just because we had a banner year this year. But in fact, up to this day, we've had $186,000 in revenue, and that has translated into over $1.5 million for the entire foundation. That hasn't come to the archives, but in revenue to the archives, that has translated to $186,000. But again, we want to be conservative on this. We don't know what's going to happen next year or the year after that. We are developing new thank you gifts. We're developing new volumes, and hopefully this will be the norm. But I feel it's wise to be conservative on this number, so we're sticking with $45,000 for that number. Okay, premium sales to non-Pacifica stations. That includes our affiliates. Affiliates are constantly asking us for the right to use our thank you gifts, and we extend them that to those stations, and we're budgeting $25,000 for next year. Up to this point, we've gotten $26,000. There's been a little bit of a uptick there because they've also been using our thank you gift, and that's helped generate some additional revenue for us as well. As you see, for the moment, grant income, grant non-operating, grant restrictions, miscellaneous other incomes, those are at zero, you know, until the Pacifica Foundation gets our records in order and we're able to, you know, get back into writing and being awarded grants. We're not looking for that, but, you know, that could change at any moment. As I said, I just wrote a grant for $9,000 and it was awarded. So, you know, there's other ways to get money that are non-matching and we're going to be looking into that for next year. But without having any way of predicting what Pacifica's finances will be in the future, we're going to be conservative and say zero. So the total amount of revenue that we project for 2018 is $176,000. Does anybody have any questions about the revenue side of things?
Ken, to the stack. Anybody else on the stack?
Sam, on the stack.
Okay, Ken.
Hey,
Sam,
I thought I should let you guys know. This is Chris Corey. I'm on the line now. So.
Oh, hi there.
Oh. Okay.
Hello.
This is Ken.
Okay.
So I have two questions. When you say
sure.
Up to this point we've received a certain amount, like 76,000 or whatever the numbers you stated, do you mean during the month of October you've already received that amount, or what? You've already met the total?
These are actual the numbers that I was saying up to this point. Those are actual numbers through the end of July.
Oh, okay. Through the end of July of 2017.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And the one other question is, I'm just curious, how do you acquire the car donations?
Well, we affiliated with a car donation foundation that KPFK is also linked to. We just do it separately on the Pacifica Radio Archives website. And we've made little promos here and there. I've made little promos on SoundCloud. And people who come and visit the Pacifica Radio Archives website, there's a little car with a gift around it. and people find it through visiting our website. And, you know, we just got a notification for another car donation that's going to bring in another $500.
It's already, I got the check already today.
Oh, check just arrived today.
And here you can look how they do. Who donated, how much, what they charge here.
Yeah,
$500.
Yeah, it was a $552 out of a $900 sale price. The Pacifica Radio Archives got $552. And that really is just through increased browsing from our website. You know, we've done a few things to make our website a little more attractive. We put a lot of images and links to audio and visuals on our website. And we've been fortunate that our little car logo with a gift wrapped on it has been clicked on when people browse. So we've gotten lucky that way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so if there's no further questions, I'll go to our total revenue.
Yes, Sam.
Yeah, I'm on the stack.
Okay. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, so my first question is about actually the format, because the format that we had discussed, that included the comparative figures from fiscal year 15 and 16, or 17 actual, because without the comparative numbers, it's difficult to figure out actually what is the trend. Because the important thing that we are missing here is, and Mark has explained that, the listener support revenue, the $170,000 that was collected last year in the fund drive, and this year it is budgeted at $85,000. So it's way too conservative. I would, my suggestion would be to increase this to at least $150,000 for a couple of reasons. Because, first of all, the PRA unit itself can use some resources. It's very short of resources, and especially in the peak demand time. The other thing is that somehow the business model has to change a little bit. The dependence on the central services is not very productive. And PRA is one unit which can really do away with the central services. It can break even on its own without compromising any ethical standards. So that would be one more factor that the listener support revenue can increase and through well-reasoned ways, and it can cover the shortfall, if at all. It is already showing a surplus of 40,000, and if we include the projected revenue to be 150,000, it'll actually create a surplus of about 120,000-130,000. So that can be easily achieved. So for these two reasons, I would suggest that CIDR's budget should be revised in that respect.
Do you want me to respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The previous 2 years from the Pacifica Radio Archives, which I believe that you can find in the income statement that you sent out earlier for fiscal year 2016 and 17, you can see that the numbers of for fundraising in the past 2 years over 2 days have been around $85,000.
Or 75 for 2016.
Yeah, 75 for 2016, and
15 was 183, but it was 2 days fundraise.
It was 3 days actually, but
yeah.
But you know, for the last in November, which really in my mind should be our only day of on-air fundraising, because the Pacifica Network fundraises so much on the air, and we're fortunate to have the stations give us that amount of time as it is. The previous two Novembers, over two days, we've raised an average of around $80,000 over 2 days, which, you know, averages like $40,000 a day. And you know, we did really well this last year with a great thank you gift, but at the same time, I think it's way too much of a risk to think that we can do that each and every year. Now, I would like to do that each and every year, and there's a potential for us to do it again this year, but if we want to make sure that the Pacifica Radio Archives is operating at a reasonable pace, so that we can do our work. I mean, in the next 4 years, I have the vision of digitizing the remaining 50,000 programs in our collection. That's been a very sore spot here at the archives and within the foundation, that there are a lot of tapes. That it's like a ticking time bomb, that these things are going to deteriorate before we can transfer them. I have a plan to digitize these within 4 years. I've been having close contact with the Shoah Foundation here in Los Angeles, and you know, a lot of this work is very intensive. And in the last year, we've been concentrating on fundraising. That's all we've been doing. We've fundraised for the Pacifica Radio Archives, and we've fundraised for the Pacifica Network. Not only the national office, but for all five Pacifica radio stations. And this next year, I really need to focus on the transfer of these tapes and not on fundraising. If we stick to the budget that we have in place, I can continue to focus on the digitization and preservation of the rest of our programs. It's been a real sore spot. For us, we've been disparaged by national archiving societies. There's been proposals sent to the national board to move our collections somewhere else, which could potentially strip us from ownership of these tapes. I feel that if we operate under the current budget, I can now focus on the transfer of the rest of our tapes and getting the funding done to do that work. And that would resolve all of the archiving issues, and we would still maintain the ability to service our stations, our listeners, and do our preservation and archiving work. All due respect, Sam, I think it's possible that I can do some fundraising, but I think for our official budget, I think it's wise to maintain this number of $85,000, because that's what we've been doing the previous 2 years over 2 days. Now, we did the 172, you know, in 1 day. It was extraordinary. But Mariana has the official figures here. Over
2015, 2 days fundraise, 78,000.
Yeah, over 2 days in 2015, we did 78. Over 2 days in 2016, we did $69,000. The fact that we're, putting $85,000 pushes up above those 2 day totals.
Not 89,
93. Again, with all due respect, I hope to be able to do those kind of numbers, Sam, in this next year, but I think it would be prudent to be conservative on this number and maintain it at 85,000. I think that, or it's 93.
93, not 85.
Yeah, it's 85 for the fund drive and another website, $8,000, yeah, for 93. So, those are my thoughts on this issue. The archives has been really focusing on fundraising for this year. That has resulted in the archives never having enjoyed this type of financial security since I've been here in 1990. It's also raised over $1.5 million for the foundation and the national office. But I think at least for this next year, we have to focus on the duplication and preservation of the remainder of our collection, which is very, very doable, and I think will impress everybody both within Pacifica and outside of Pacifica.
Nancy to the SAC for the question.
Yes.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. I have a question about the product, and also does the product contain any of the tapes that you have yet to digitize, number one, and number two, how many of that product did you sell during this one-day fund drive, and have there been others with other fund drives? I mean, I'm just wondering because I haven't yet gotten mine, and I'm wondering if other people have not gotten theirs yet, which might affect future fundraising when people don't get their premiums. It affects fundraising going forward. So I'm wondering where people are with fulfilling that product premium to the listeners that bought those.
Okay, well, we launched this product on our November 2016 fund drive, and all of those were fulfilled by Christmas of 2016. And KPFK was the first station to offer this to their listeners in the middle of December. And then the other stations, started jumping on as well. Now, each of the stations are responsible for mailing out their gifts on their own. We don't mail them out to individuals. So the station, like KPFK, just put in a new order for over 400 units. And so we have those actually on hand already duplicated. So we walk them down to KPFK, and then KPFK is responsible for mailing them out to the individuals, and that's true with all of the other stations. So all of the orders for all of the stations have all gone out, except for this brand new order that came in today from KPFK's last fund drive. So if somebody hasn't gotten an order, they're dealing with the individual station. Yeah, so that's how that dynamic works.
Okay, thank you. Uh-huh. And then what about the the material yet to be digitized. That's not on the product.
And no.
Would that potentially be another product?
Oh, yeah. We have, in our holdings, we have about 55,000 recordings, maybe 60,000 when you include some of the tapes that we have in offsite storage. And we have, of those 60,000, 15,000 are digitized. So what was on this jump drive was 1,300 of the 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
So in volume two, we're working on the next batch of 1,300. So we can still make about 10 volumes of this thank you gift just from the materials that we have already digitized. So now we have, you know, around 50,000 tapes that need to be digitized. And in this next year, we want to push forward with that process in a big way.
So that's potentially a lot of money fundraising
that
if you can get it digitized.
That is correct.
Sounds like a priority to me,
Yeah. It's also a tremendous asset for the foundation as a whole. The network.
Tremendous. Exactly.
Oh,
agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. If I can move forward, I'll go to now our expenses for the next year. We have as our on line number 24 our personnel costs $275,000 budgeted for next year. The actual up to this point is around two, and by this point it's the end of
July
of 2017, we're at $242,000. So we're basically looking at staying where we are today.
No increases, not.
Yeah, with no increases. And then the next expense is administration expenses. We have a slotted here $45,000 for 2018. Currently, we're at about $50,000 by the end of July of 2017. Programming expenses. Now, this has to do with us creating product for our fund drives for the stations. And in actuality, that number currently is at $115,000 as of the end of July. Those expenses come because these jump drives are very expensive. Now, it comes back to us and those expenses are paid, but that is costing us $115,000 as of now. Again, we don't know if that's going to happen for next year. It might happen for next year. But our normal expenses for CDs and USB drives is normally in the $12,000 range. And so that's what we put down there. Development expenses, again, these are related to
the
fund drive that we have for us. And those expenses we have at almost $11,000, $10,800. And this has to do with, other vendors that we use to create product, which includes blank CDs, mailers,
jump drives,
and additional jump drives. The total amount of expenses we have budgeted for fiscal year 2018 is $344,000. Now, in addition to the $176,000 that we have budgeted for revenue. We have central services money that comes in from each of the five stations. For KPFA for the year, it's $55,000. For KPFK, it's $58,000. For WBAI, it's $50,000. For WPFW, it's $24,000. For KPFT, it's $19,000. You know, interestingly, we've probably raised for each of them, I think conservatively for KPFK, we've raised many hundred thousand dollars, WBAI, definitely over $100,000, KPFA, easily over $100,000. In total, again, it's been about $1.5 million for the five radio stations. And so I'm hoping that doesn't change. You know, we're coming out with a new volume of Voices That Change the World. This first volume that we came out with was curated by the Pacifica Radio Archives. That means we handpicked the best of the best. And in the next volume, we're calling it Voices That Change the World A to Z. And we're literally, we're offering everything that we have from our catalog A to Z. And so they're going to be coming from all five listening areas now, and I think they'll be more relevant to each of the stations. But for fiscal year 2018, we're keeping the numbers the same as previous, no increase, no decrease, and the total amount of revenue for that is $208,560,000. So our net expenses will be, when you look at the net loss from our lines in 39, we come up at a net surplus of $40,000 with this current budget. The remainder of our budget, if you turn the pages, is a breakdown of how each one of these line items is listed as we enter them into Great Plains, and it shows a breakdown of how all of that money goes into each one of these categories, from gross salaries to severance pay, vacation pay, payroll taxes, FICA, payroll taxes, health state, insurance. Health insurance, 403B matching funds, health benefits, administrative expenses with telephones, internet, postage, FedEx, rentals of our off-site storage vaults, bank charges. That's been
is that one of the tabs, Mark? Is that one of the tabs?
These are listed in our budgets from lines 42 through the remainder of the budget, which is 158. So each.
Oh, they're the specific. Yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah. Those just.
That breaks out the personnel costs, the board expenses, administration, programming. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Sorry. Never mind.
And, mm-hmm. and so mm-hmm. you can see, you know, what each of those lines are to help break down all of those. Again, for this last fiscal year, I mean, when I started in June, we literally had to scrape by to make each payroll, to make each health care payment. It was a struggle. You know, we really had to work hard to not only accumulate the revenue to make payroll, but to plan for our November fund drive. I addressed on our national phone calls, I communicated to each one of the station managers, the program directors, the executive director, that if people help us by paying their central services money and get me to November, I promise them that I would not be as dependent on their central services money as we have in the past. And in fact, as of for this year, the station's outstanding balance for us is $45,000 central services money, but that has not affected our operation at all. It's not affected our health care. It's not affected our payroll. We haven't had to make adjustments. We don't make phone calls to the stations every day, where's our money. When stations can pay, they do. When stations can't, they can't. KPFK is the one station that is caught up. KPFA is only one payment behind, but everybody else, it's a varying amount. KPFT is very close to being caught up as well, but WBA and WPFW are far behind, but that hasn't mattered because we've made adjustments here at the archives to live within our means and also address searching out additional revenue streams. And now the Pacifica Radio Archives is able to operate, is fully operate without fully depending on central services money. And for this next year, I would like to return to making the digitization and preservation of the remainder of our collection a priority. I've reached out to the Shoah Foundation, which is the foundation that Steven Spielberg founded right after he made Schindler's List. And they just finished a four-year digitization project of digitizing over 275,000 video and audio testimonies of Holocaust survivors. They finished under the deadline of when their tape was going to decay. They came in a year in advance. The Preservation Task Force has labeled our collection to be in peril if we don't transfer it by 2025. And the Shoah Foundation and I, who have been in meetings, have worked out a plan where we transfer the remainder of our 50,000 tapes by 2021. That's 10,000 every year, beginning this year. They're going to do it at a highly subsidized rate. Pacifica will maintain its ownership of all copyright and tapes. And they, in addition, will be doing all of the archiving of it so that all the metadata will be able to be shared not only with us but with the academic community. And I feel that if you approve this budget that allows us to operate pretty much as we've been operating this last year at a reasonable rate, that I will be able to move this project forward and secure the remaining 50,000 tapes to be digitized and be available for the type of fundraising that we've enjoyed incredible results this past year. It's possible that once we get this project up and running, that we might be able to adjust our budget, especially if we see that there are additional revenue streams. I'm also looking into outreaching and increasing our campus campaign. We're presently in two history classes on the campus of Cal State Los Angeles. That generates about $4,000 a year for us. In the last week, I just approached and was accepted into a classroom in the Pomona College clusters here in Southern California by Grammy-winning Latin American history professor Martha Gonzalez. She's a lead singer of the Grammy-winning group Quetzal. They won a Grammy for their Smithsonian Folkways release. I happened to be host of one of their summer concert series about 3 weeks ago, and I introduced her to the concept of using our materials in her classrooms. She thought it was a great idea. She reviewed our materials, and last week she said that she is going to require her classroom, her two classrooms, to use our materials. Since then, another professor of Latin American history at UC Davis, who has much larger classrooms, instead of these 30 students per classroom classes, she has some Latin American history, the introductory classes, survey courses in Latin American history that have over 230 students, and she agreed to put her materials in her five classrooms starting at the end of September when UC Davis goes into school. So at that rate, that's going to generate another $30,000 for the Pacifica Radio Archives, and that's just in eight additional classrooms. I'm going to be going to a conference at UC San Diego at the end of the month where 750 educators are going to be there, and they're allowing me to do a five-minute presentation and a table so that we might be able to introduce our materials into more classrooms. So I am working on doing additional revenue streams that doesn't require on-air fundraising, and I'm optimistic that we can lift these numbers up. I would rather be conservative with our budget and pass the budget that we have before you. And while I work on these additional revenue streams, I feel that, you know, if we can do one additional year with this framework of revenue for my second year as the interim director, I feel that we can adjust those numbers in the third year when these additional revenue streams become more concrete. So I'm very optimistic about how the Pacifica Radio Archives will not only be able to sustain ourselves, but help the Pacifica Foundation in its fundraising. I just hope that we can pass a reasonable budget for this next year so that we can continue doing our good work and continue helping the foundation as well.
Ken to the stack.
Sam on the stack.
Arpo on the stack.
I think I heard Ken, then Sam, then Arpo. Ken, go ahead.
Chris Corey for the stack, too, please.
Okay, yes, this is Ken. This is just a technical question. If the tapes are going to have a threat of decay or disintegration in 2025, is there any point to maintaining ownership of them once they're digitized? Are they going to decay after 2025 even, or is there an intent, let's say, with the Shoah Foundation, to assist preserving them, or do you intend to continue to preserve them? If they're going to decay once they're digitized, what's the purpose of holding on to them?
Yeah, I think maintaining ownership of the tapes is important. The copyright laws fluctuate as the copyright law laws changed throughout history. I understand that the late 1970s was a important copyright adjustment, so that things that are owned pre-1979 have different laws applicable to them. The Shoah Foundation is offering to assist us with this. The Shoah Foundation is going to preserve the digital part of the collection on a supercomputer. I took a tour of the facility last week, and they were boasting that they maintained a top 10 university supercomputer in order to get additional funding. They had to be in the top 10. So they have a supercomputer there that is the backbone to their servers. They have software that runs every night that checks for digital issues, and it's mirrored at Clemson University in South Carolina, and at the end of the year it's going to be in Prague. They also happen to have hundreds of thousands of square feet of storage facility for both their beta tapes, and they would help us store our physical tapes as well in this facility. It's an incredible facility that, you know, it used to be on the back lot of Universal, and Steven Spielberg, it grew to such a degree at 275,000 testimonies that he thought that it was best to move it off-site of the Universal back lot, and he helped finance a building that's a few blocks off the University of Southern California campus, but it's close enough, you know, it's a few blocks away.
My question is, would you extend the life of the tapes beyond 2025?
I think that we would maintain holding the physical tapes that we have today, and the additional tapes that we have in our offsite storage vaults, or any other tapes that come into existence that are Pacifica's, I think would stay over at the Shoah Foundation. And it's really just in case of any type of emergency. You never know what's going to happen. We have these backup systems. They're mirrored. But you have no idea what a solar flare may do somewhere. You know, may just need these tapes. So, yes, I would say as a backup, I think the tapes should be maintained.
Okay, one other question. I'll be very brief. Your distribution is by disks and flash drives. Have you investigated the potential of just allowing one-time downloads from the cloud, and then you'd have an additional cost for bandwidth or something, but you wouldn't have to invest in flash drives?
Yeah, we've been thinking about that. Depending on the success of our next fund drive, we would like to retool at least the front of our the front page, the face of our website, to be able to do something like that. We're having to be a little bit careful because the infrastructure that has been set up for the cataloging and the metadata, you know, is on a very specific system, and so we don't want to mess with that. But at the same time, we would like to set up an online store for people to be able to do that. I think that's a great idea. We've been thinking about that. We would have to come in and either have third-party software involved to help us set up a store, you know, or we create our own app to be able to do something like that. But, yes, that is something that we've thought about, and it's a great idea.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I think Sam was next.
Yeah. So I have a question about the cost structure. Mark, you mentioned that the most important project for you for the next year is a digitization of the 50,000 tapes. But I don't see any cost being built into this budget. How are you going to achieve that? And if that cost is substantial, then how that cost will be paid? Because I don't see both the revenue. I mean, the revenue will not come in this year itself. I think that will come in subsequent years. So the cost is most important. So can you give us some idea about the cost for this next year?
Yes. I think we wanted to start with a smaller batch of programs. We wanted to give the Shoah Foundation 1,000 tapes to see how their process works. And they have offered to do the digitization and the archiving of it. Just in contrast, just let me briefly explain what past costs have been for this type of work. The last grant that we got was for the American Women's History Project. That was for 2,000 tapes. To process those 2,000 tapes, the cost of transfer was $200 per tape. In addition to the $200 per tape, we had up to 3 full-time archivists working to do the metadata for this for a three-year period. You know, that came to a cost of over $200,000, $225,000 in salaried expenses just for the archival work, and then $200 per tape for each of the transfers for the 2000. The Shoah Foundation is going to subsidize these. If we do an agreement for a small batch, like 1,000, they're going to do it for $21 per tape. $21 per tape, which includes not only the digital transfer, but the archival work and the metadata work as well.
If we will have $9,000 grant, that money could go for the digital.
Yeah, we have a large donor that hasn't really donated to us in this last fiscal year. I spoke to him last week, and he called me on Labor Day, and he said, "Hey, Mark, I invited him out to lunch about a month ago, and we did just that. We went out to lunch. He's donated maybe $50,000 in the last couple of years to the Pacifica Radio Archives, and he donated zero last year. I took him out to lunch about a month ago, and I think he was expecting to get out his checkbook, and he goes, "Mark, you're not asking me for any money." And I said, "Tom, you have been so generous. I just wanted you to know how much we respect you and love you as a person for being so kind to us over the years. And I wanted to let you know that our doors are open for you as a, you know, in friendship that doesn't have anything to do with money." And he didn't really even know how to handle that. And he goes, and he said, "Is this the big kiss off?" And I said, "No, not at all. It's just what I said. You know, you're an awesome person. You're a great person, but we frankly haven't needed your help at this point." Flash forward to Labor Day, and he said, "Hey, Mark, I'm just going to be frank. Do you need any help?" And I said, "I don't need any help right now, but I think I'm going to need help soon. Because we're working on this big digitization project, and maybe you can help with that." And he said, "Let me know what you need, and I will help out." So with the first batch of 1,000 that we're going to try with the Shoah Foundation, our large donor is going to foot the bill for this. So I didn't include that in the budget because he is going to be paying for that. Now, this is something that I could put in the large donor figure to balance out the amount for, you know, $21,000 for the first batch of 1,000 tapes. So that was my plan until I really would like to get a large donor. I would like to use, you know, our large donor base to come up with a fundraising tool. The Shoah Foundation has expressed an interest in our collection because they feel that our collection, like theirs, is an unwanted collection, that there are forces in the world that would like to see their collection and our collection disappear. That's why they're having this very reduced number and hugely subsidized work that they're doing with their archival staff. And they've extended an invitation for me to meet with Steven Spielberg and his team. They feel that they could come up with the total amount. Now, the total expense at $21, and they expressed if we committed to do the entire 50,000 tapes, that they would reduce it even further down to $15 a tape. And that would be about $700,000 over 4 years.
So, Mark, if
and,
I can...
Yeah.
Yeah, if I can put the... I don't want to cut you off, actually, but I just want to put the numbers because the frame of reference is very important here. So we are talking about anywhere 15 or 21... We are talking close to $750,000 or $1 million. if we talk about the 50,000 tapes. And what I would imagine that if this is an important project, then at least the budget should reflect the priorities, should reflect the what is going to happen on the ground soon enough. Like, even if you were to take a pilot project for 1,000 tapes or 2,000 tapes, should it not be reflected in the budget?
Yeah, I can make an adjustment for that for $21,000 from a large donor for that.